You can be seated. Brother Ryan.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you this morning. And I must say this, before we get started, I must preface this. There's not a short thing going on this morning. I didn't know Brother Scott was going to get up here and talk. And I'm short too, and I'm preaching on Zacchaeus. So there you go. God worked it all out that way. Just kidding. But I did thought about it. I was like, well, golly, we got a good short thing going on this morning. So. It is good to see you this morning, and we are going to be looking at Zacchaeus specifically this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father God, I come to you right now, and I thank you for this opportunity you're giving us to gather into your house and worship and praise you. We've sung beautiful hymns and praises to your name. Lord, we are lifting you up right now that you will be glorified. Teach us, strengthen us, guide us. Counsel us this morning, Lord, that we will walk closer with you. Now, as we open your word, Lord, teach us right now. I thank you for each person, each soul that's in this building right now, God. We pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll be in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. We all know the story of Zacchaeus. Matter of fact, we could probably all sing the song, can we not? Remember that? I can still remember some of the motions. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. I'm not going to do that part, climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm coming to your house today. We all know that song. And that song has a lot of biblical truth to it. But there was a lot more that happened that day with Zacchaeus than what that song says. And that's what I want to look at today. For you see, when Zacchaeus climbed up that tree, he was lost. When he climbed up that sycamore tree, he was lost. But when he came down, he was changed. He was saved. And we're going to see that this morning. You know, because I want to know about that more. Because it happened in my life, it's happened in many people's lives in this sanctuary, in that you were lost, and then you were saved by Jesus Christ. And you know what? If there's someone here who is not saved, it can happen to you this morning. So I want to take these few minutes together to look at this and think how Zacchaeus got saved. Number one, he experienced a divine confrontation. He experienced a divine confrontation. And we'll see that. Let's start with verse 1. He entered Jericho and was passing through. This is Jesus now. It says, he entered Jericho and was passing through. Jesus didn't do anything haphazardly. He didn't flip a coin and say, where we're going to go over here, we're going to go there. Wherever he went, he was intentional in doing that. Remember the woman at the well? Going into Samaria, a place where Jews would not go at all. He was intentional. And here he is. He's intentional in coming into Jericho and passing through. Verse 2, we see the description of the man, Zacchaeus. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Boy, so much right there in that. Look at what it says. He was called by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector. Tax collectors were a bad name in Jewish life. They were people who were employed by the Roman government. And they had a bad reputation. That if the Roman government levied a 5% tax, tax collectors were known to add any more they wanted on to it, 10%, 15%. Long as Rome got their percentage, they could keep whatever else. So they were known for extortion. And that's why everybody hated him. Matter of fact, you go through the Gospels and you read about it, they always say tax collectors and sinners. Or sinners and tax collectors. They gave themselves their own bracket below a sinner, basically, in Jewish life. But we see Zacchaeus here is a chief. He wasn't just your ordinary tax collector. It means he was real good at what he was doing. Chances are he was real good extorting people with that. And we see him here, as it says, he was a chief tax collector. And he would be viewed even worse than all sinners by Jewish people in that society. But what puzzles me is the fact of what he was wanting to do here in verse 3. Zacchaeus was trying to see Jesus, trying to see who Jesus was, and was unable to because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So here we see Zacchaeus, a desire in him. He was wanting to see who Jesus is. He had heard him passing by, and he was wanting to see, but he was short. Now, I don't know if y'all noticed that, but I can comprehend to that remark. And I can feel where he was feeling from. I've been in behind a crowd before, and you can't see nothing out in front with it. So here he is. He's wanting to try to see Jesus, and he cannot because of the crowd. But I'm wondering why. Because what's going to happen next with it? I wonder if there was a turmoil in his soul that would spark him to do what he does next in there. I wonder if he had something, and it's called a Napoleon complex. Short people can have that. If I want to be open and honest with you this morning, growing up, I had that complex. I would ask God many times, why? Everybody else is way taller than me. Why am I short? Now, granted, I know I got it heredity. My mother's short out there. I knew where it came from, but I was like, why? Then I realized once I got off into college and all, God made me perfect the way He wanted me. Because guess what? I'm still short. Actually, I've shrunk a little more. Went to the doctor and they said, you're not 5'1 and a half, you're 5'1. I was like, okay, well, I would like that half inch back, but didn't happen. But we don't know what Zacchaeus was going through, but we do know this. He had power. He had money, wealth, all this going for him. But obviously something compelled him to do what's happening in verse 4. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. And that's what I'm wondering about. What compelled him to do this? Because there's some things you need to understand. First of all, a man would never climb a tree. That was unacceptable in that society. A Jewish man would definitely never climb a tree. That just uncouth. A rich Jewish man, he would have somebody else climb the tree. So why would this man humble himself like a child and climb up this tree? Why would he do this? To see Jesus. I wonder if he had just heard about blind Bartimaeus. Matter of fact, you just go a few verses back in chapter 18 and you'll see where he received his sight. On the way to Jericho. I wonder if he heard about Bartimaeus. He probably heard about Jesus healing sick, casting out demons, even raising the dead. You know, and there are many other miracles. And he probably heard about these claims of Jesus Christ. And I wonder if he was thinking, surely this man could do something for me. Because again, why would he humble himself like a little child and climb up a tree? Because that was not what you did in society back then. Remember, back then, the men had the front row seat. It didn't matter if you were short, tall, big, whatever, skinny. The men had the front row seat. As a matter of fact, you know, even in the temple, you had the inner court right there of the temple in Jerusalem, that's where the Jewish men were at. Then you had another court behind that. That's where the Jewish women and children were at. Then you had another way back there behind that. That's where the Gentiles were at. So Jewish men had priority. But here's this man humbling himself to see Jesus. I think all his money, all his wealth could not do anything for him, could not fill that gap that was in his life. Matter of fact, it could very well be, you remember Matthew? Jesus, one of Jesus' disciples? He was a tax collector. And what happened after Jesus told him to follow him? He threw a party and had his friends there. I wonder if Zacchaeus was at that party, where Jesus was the head guest and speaker. I think he had heard about Jesus. I think he had heard all this stuff about him. And he was thinking, maybe he could do something for me. I want to see him at all costs. I want to be there with him at all costs. So I'll climb this tree. I think he wanted peace in his life. And everything he had going on for him wasn't providing. I believe in his mind he says, surely this man has done so much for others. He could do something for me. That's why I have to see him. You see, it was no accident for Jesus and Zacchaeus to confront right there. Remember, Jesus was intentional about everything he did. And I believe God was already working in Zacchaeus' life. I believe the Holy Spirit was pricking his heart to humble him to climb that tree. What a picture Zacchaeus is right now for everyone who's lost. Think about this for a second. People who do not know Jesus, from every outward appearance, they give you the impression they have it all together. That they have everything going on in their lives, that everything is just hunky-dory, perfect. But if you would pull back the curtain of their heart and look inside, you would see that they were empty. You'd see that they were missing something in their life. And they were longing for something that they do not have. And you know what? That longing and that hunger cannot be satisfied by sins or possessions or lifestyles. It can only be satisfied by Jesus Christ. And then one day these people will see a changed life or hear a sermon or hear the gospel song sung. And then they are introduced into Jesus. And the Spirit of God begins to point them in that direction. That's that divine confrontation I'm talking about right there, where the Spirit of God begins to point that person in the direction of Jesus with it. Just like Zacchaeus had a divine confrontation. If you're a believer, you actually had that at one point in time in your life. That divine confrontation where you realize there was nothing else in your life that can fill that emptiness, that void, but Jesus Christ. In the essence, we call that conviction with it. And that is part of the salvation, or that we are convicted of our sins. I believe Zacchaeus was in that point. But it doesn't stop there. Not only did he experience a divine confrontation, he experienced a divine call. Look with me in verse 5. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. A divine call. Jesus called him personally. You see, it's a personal call. You know, he called him by his name, Zacchaeus. And I don't know how many of y'all knew this or not, but in the original language, Zacchaeus means pure, innocent. I bet a lot of people never called him by his name. They probably called him something else. Pure evil, pure wicked, whatever. But they sure didn't call him completely by his name. I can guarantee you that. But here, Jesus Christ calls him by his name. You know, I'm sure Zacchaeus thought, I'll just get up this tree. I'll see him. He's going to go on by and then I'll come down. I'll go home, and that'll be it. But when Jesus called him by his name, you see, what Zacchaeus was doing was a tax collector, like I said, and he was hated by everyone. And here, the very one who should be offended by his actions the most was the one who spoke to him in love and compassion and called him by his name. Jesus Christ called him Zacchaeus. You see, that's one thing about it. When the Lord calls a lost person to him, he's not going to issue a blanket call. Now, yes, at the end of the service, we'll have a call of invitation. But when God calls you to him, it's a personal call. He's going to call you by your name right there. For you see, he didn't see Zacchaeus for the tax collector. He saw Zacchaeus for what he can become through the power of God. Amen. Jesus didn't see you for what you were and are. He saw you for what you become through him. And that's what he does. And that's what Zacchaeus was receiving, this personal call. But it was a plain call. Look with me again right there in verse 5. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. It was a plain call. Other versions say, make haste and come down. In other words, Jesus told Zacchaeus exactly what to do. Exactly what he is expecting him to do. There will be no second guessing, no debating. Jesus was clear and plain. You come down. And guess what? Jesus is the same today. When he calls somebody, it is personal and it is plain. He's telling, you come down. You know, Jesus told him clear and plain. And when Jesus calls a lost sinner, he leaves no doubt what he expects from that person. You know, you might not know what to pray. You might not know what to say. But that doesn't bother Jesus. You let him do it. He just says, come. And that's what he was telling Zacchaeus right there. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. It is a plain call that he does for each and every person. We don't need to hesitate. We don't need to put it off. And that's one thing about it. He goes on and he says it's a promising call. Look at the last part of that. For today I must stay at your house. Of all the verse right there, that's the one that really touches me the most, I'll be honest. Why? Here, the Lord Jesus Christ is basically telling Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house, Zacchaeus. No one else in this community will have anything to do with you. Your neighbors won't come to your house. Remember, they hated tax collectors. No one will have anything to do with you. But I'm telling you right now, this is Jesus saying this. The Lord of glory is going to come stay at your home. No one else will touch them. They hated them. Remember that. They couldn't stand them because they were a Jew working for the Roman government. And they were despised. And here Jesus is telling Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house to stay. I'm coming to your house to stay. It was a promising call that he made right there. And guess what? When Jesus does call and he does come, I can tell you this. When Jesus comes in, moves in, a marriage cannot stay the same. A home cannot stay the same. Any relationship in life cannot stay the same. Because when Jesus moves in, he changes everything for the best. Nothing will stay the same. Not only did he receive a divine confrontation and a divine call, he experienced a divine conversion. A divine conversion. Look what happens. Verse 6. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. Now a lot of people just, oh, well, he just welcomed him. But there's a lot more to that verse right there. A lot more to it. First thing Zacchaeus did, he heeded. He came down. He did exactly what the Lord told him. But I want to focus on that word right there. It says, and received him gladly. The word received, that's a big word actually. You go and look at the language of it in the original. That means to receive as guest, to receive beneath the surface, to take in. The idea is that not only Zacchaeus was going to welcome him into his home, but he was welcoming him into his life. That's why I said at the start, when Zacchaeus climbed that tree, he was lost. But when he came down that tree, he was changed. Guess what? That's how fast God works. There wasn't a process. Just in the heart, the changing of the heart. And that's what was happening. You know, that's what salvation is all about. You see, Zacchaeus received confrontation of his lifestyle. Then he received the call. And now he's being converted right there. The change of heart. And that's what salvation is all about. A lost person hears the claims of the gospel. They feel the call of the Spirit and they receive Jesus by faith. But I want to stop for a second on that because many people go through step one and two. They hear the call of Jesus right there with it. They hear the claims. And they say they receive Jesus, but they really don't go forward with it. You got to have faith. That faith to step out and step down from wherever you're at in life and commit to Jesus Christ. The Bible is clear about this. Faith is the only component that will bring you into saving salvation relationship with God. Believing in Jesus Christ. There's no other way. No other way. And Zacchaeus was receiving that as he came down that tree. Not only did he welcome him in his home, he was welcoming him in his heart. Verse 7. I like that Luke puts this in here to let us know. Because you're going to have naysayers. And remember, he was a tax collector. He was chief tax collector. And everybody hated him. Look what happened. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He's gone to be with the guest of a man who is a sinner." Boy, can you hear that? Can you believe that? What's going on? Look what Jesus is doing. That's not the first time they've said that. Remember Matthew's house? He's gone to eat with tax collectors and sinners, prostitutes, all that stuff. Just, there will be naysayers, but they don't matter. They don't matter. They didn't matter to Zacchaeus, and they sure didn't matter to Jesus. Why did I say that about Zacchaeus? Right there. It's because of what's happened next with that. He demonstrates the change. Look with me in verse 8. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of all my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." You know, I wonder if Zacchaeus right there at that moment in time, his ears were thinking, "What in the world is this mouth saying?" Because what he just said, "Behold, Lord, I give half my possessions to the poor." Right off, he just, "I'm going to give half of it. And if I defrauded anybody, I'm going to give them four times more back." Because there was probably a guarantee that he did that. Remember, he was a chief tax collector. He didn't get that way by being honest. He got that way by cheating even more when you get down to it. You see, he was demonstrating this change with it. That he said, "I'll give everything back." Like I said, I wonder if his ears were shocked at what his mouth was saying. But he's only publicly doing what's happening on the inside. You know, he is basically saying, "I renounce that old sin of life, lying, cheating, extortion." And he's embracing the new life of faith and holy living. Zacchaeus is merely displaying the kind of change Jesus makes in all those he saves. All those he saves. You see, because you have an inner witness and you have an outer witness. That inner witness is the Holy Spirit that's in you. That outer witness is that changed life that other people see. And that's what Zacchaeus is saying right there. He's telling. But not only did he have a divine conversion, he received a divine confirmation. Look right there with me in verse 9. These are from the mouth of Jesus, the words of him. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham." You can't get any more confirmation than that. That's like the thief on the cross. "Today you'll be with me in paradise," Jesus told him. That man was saved. You know, a lot of people want to debate that, but that's not up for debate. Jesus said it. And guess what? Right here too. Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house." Zacchaeus was saved. And he was showing that. He was showing what had happened innerly, inner him, and showing it outwardly with it. And Jesus is saying the same thing for us. You know, basically he's telling everybody there, "Hey, this man is saved." All those naysayers could hear it. All those ones who hate that tax collector, that chief tax collector, could hear it. Jesus was telling, "Hey, this man's saved. You know, that salvation is here. That change from the inward to the outward, right there." Zacchaeus was showing that. And guess what? You and I, if you're a believer here today, same thing happened with you. You had that inward change, and it came outward. People to see Jesus in you. And what Jesus is saying right now about that is basically saying, what happened to Zacchaeus can happen to you. Look what he says here. Verse 10. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Here Jesus is saying it. He's telling the mission. Jesus was saying, "Hey, this man is saved, you can be too." And he's telling that today. For anyone to hear, anyone who could ever read these verses and hear this verse, understand this. Jesus will save anyone. And he will do it. He can do it. No one is too far gone for Jesus. Now I know we can get into it. There's the unpardonable sin, but guess what? The unpardonable sin is the total rejection of Jesus. If you haven't crossed that line right there, which until death happens, you still have an opportunity. Jesus is telling what has happened to Zacchaeus can happen to you. And it's still true today, people. It's still true today. Let me ask you this question. Does your life lack meaning? Do you feel like there's no hope? If everything you've tried has left you defeated, discouraged, or disillusioned and looking for more, let me tell you, you're right where Zacchaeus was in that tree. You're right where he was in that tree. And Jesus is telling you right now, that can change. Thing is, you don't have to climb a tree. All you have to do is hear the call and come. We're going to have that time of invitation here in just a little bit. And Jesus is calling. If you've never made a profession of faith, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, you are hearing it right now. You're having that divine confrontation. Right now. And when we have this invitation, that will be your divine call. Jesus is calling you. He wants you to have that divine conversion. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to confirm it by the Holy Spirit coming into your life as the seal forever. This morning, when we have this invitation, where are you at in that? Now, you might be here and you've already accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. You might be, I've done all that, Brother Roddy. Well, praise the Lord. I want to encourage you to thank Him and praise Him for that experience already. But you might be here and you've never accepted Him as Lord and say, I don't know. Only you know. You could have been attending this church for 40 years and never be saved. You see, it's not about church attendance. But that's good. We need to be in the house of the Lord. It's about Jesus. And if you're where Zacchaeus is in that tree, He's telling you right now, come. Come to Him. He's calling you. He's there for you. It doesn't matter what you've done. You have not been bad enough for Him. You might sit there and think, oh, I've done some bad things. No. You're not bad enough for Jesus. He'll change you. Will you stand with me and we'll have a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come to You right now. Lord, and we thank You for this opportunity You've given us. Thank You for the example You've given us through Zacchaeus. Lord, right now, if there's someone here in the sanctuary who doesn't know You, I pray, God, they're feeling that confrontation, that conviction happening, God, and they hear that call. I pray they will do it this morning. If there's a believer here who needs to come and rededicate their life, I pray they'll do that this morning. If anything, you just need to communicate with Jesus. Come to this altar and pray. Lord Jesus, thank You. Pray in Your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay?
Hymn of invitation is Without Him.
Without Him I could do nothing. Without Him I surely fail. Without Him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do You know Him today? You can't turn Him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, without Him, how lost I would be.
Thank you for extending this call. I'm looking forward to worshiping more with you and being a part of you with that. I'll pray for you as you pray for me on it. And I'm praying for VBS as well, definitely. Praying for those kids that will come through tomorrow with it. Pray for us as camp starts again. For us at Garraway. So, Brother Jack, I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Been a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. All right. Well, let's sing Thank You, Lord, as we leave.
Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free.
Y'all have a blessed week.